Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Memches. We are on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and we are going to, sure, the truth be told, let's just turn back to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and let's go to the bottom of the Amud, and let's start with the Mishnah. We're a little bit behind, but at least now we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So you're going to see a progression of Mishnayos as we continue to discuss the idea of Avodah Zarah Mechub LaKarka. Right, the third paragraph of Avodah Zarah, which we started now a couple days ago, takes us through the topic of Avodah Zarah, which is connected to the ground. So, to a certain degree, there's one basic rule, but there's a couple permutations. The basic rule is that anything which is connected to the ground is grounded, and when it comes to Avodah Zarah, that means it becomes immune to becoming an Avodah Zarah. Now, as for the person who worships the Avodah Zarah, so that's not good. And when I say not good, it could be that that's a capital punishment. A capital crime with a capital punishment. So, you know, not good meaning really not good. But in terms of the actual Avodah Zarah itself, the mountain itself cannot become an Avodah Zarah. So when the Gemara Memhei brought this down as one of two psukim that speak to this idea, but this is the idea of Avodah Zarah, which is Mechub LaKarka. A lot of time has been dedicated in the course of the Gemara having discussions of, I know you and I can use it because it's mutabana, you're allowed to get benefit from it, but what about using it lagabe mizbeach, or lagabe beis hamikdash, or what about using it lagabe a mitzvah? So it could be that for these activities, they are obviously higher order activities, and with more kedusha, and so maybe even though for you and me it's okay, but for the beis hamikdash, or for machshire karban, says the same thing, or for a mitzvah, so maybe it's going to be different, and that's what the Gemara has been spending a lot of time discussing. We'll continue on along these lines. We are now on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and you will see a theme alert coming up in these upcoming Mishnayos. Mishaya Beisur Samach Avodas Kochavim. So first we start off with a scenario in which your house is close to an Avodah Zarah. Now this Mishnah is something that we've done earlier in the Masechta. It takes us back to a debate that we had earlier regarding getting hana'a and being mahana, both benefiting and providing benefit for an Avodah Zarah. That was much earlier in the Masechta. But in any event, so the Gemara over here, I'm sorry, the Mishnah over here says, Mishaya Beitel, Vesel Samach Avodah Kochavim V'Nafal. So your house is right next to an Avodah Zarah, and the wall falls down. So that wall that separates between your house and the Avodah Zarah house is now gone. It's like a duplex, if you will. And so now it's a question of rebuilding the wall. Problem is that because it's a shared wall, and if you rebuild it, so you're also going to be rebuilding the wall for the Avodah Zarah itself. Rashi over here, if take a look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah, so he writes, I'm reading, Shahaya Echa Mikosei Avodas Kochavim V'Habais Atzmo Ne'avad. So it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi over here is not talking about where there is Avodah Zarah in the house. Rashi over here describes it as a house itself being actually served and worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, meaning his section of the house. Okay, why Rashi does that and what the implications of Rashi are, much discussed. But anyway, so here now is the problem. Problem is that you had a shared wall. It was your wall together coupled with that wall of Avodah Zarah. Somehow it was put up already. And how that happened, you know, also we can investigate. But it was up already, it fell down, now you need to rebuild it, but by doing so, by default, you're going to be building a wall for Avodah Zarah. What do you do?
It belongs to the Jew
only. It's joint, no, it's joint ownership.
But then it would be bittul, because that means that the Avodah Zarah that belongs to the Goy, that portion, fell down.
Uh-huh. Okay. But in other words, when you rebuild the wall, you're building the wall for an Avodah Zarah.
But the wall right now is a wall.
Okay, the Gemara, I hear you. The Mishnah is dunning on the rebuilding of that new wall. So, Keta Yasa, so what do you do? So, Konis Pesach Shalom Dala Amos Abonim. So, you have to withdraw. Meaning, if you build the wall on the actual border of where you and the Avodah Zarah are, so that means that you're going to be building a wall for the Avodah Zarah, and you know you can't do that, so therefore you withdraw. And you build the wall within 4 amas of where you are. Now, hayu shalav shalav avodas kochavim. So nidon mechza amechza. Now, this is a tricky line in the Mishnah. What does that mean exactly? Excuse me. Once again, I go back to Rashi, and Rashi over here explains. Rashi explains that we're talking about now the area where the wall once was. half of it belonged to you and half of it belonged to him. So Nido Mechzamech, so you take a look at the top Rashi on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. He writes, and I'm reading, meaning in terms of withdrawing four amos, you can't start counting from where his area is and where his property is. So therefore, your portion, however, can be counted towards those four amos. So Rashi over here gives a simple example. Let's say the area where the wall once was two amos. Half, one amma belonging to you, one belonging to your neighbor. So now you have to, halachis, you have to withdraw within four ammas into your property. Recede into your property four ammas. So now you can only count of those two ammas of now empty space, you can only count one of those two ammas. And therefore you're going to take one plus another three, and that's how much you're going to have to withdraw.
It's in a way kind of ceding your land.
Well, the Gemara,
when you receive four ammas.
Stay tuned. You're asking the right question. So need a mechzamechzu avana veitzav va'afaro mitam and kisheretz. Now, what about the stones? So the stones and the dirt and the wood, all the building materials are mitam and kisheretz, have a tuma to them. The idea that avodah zarah is mitame, please consider, it's a novel idea. It's not the first time we've heard it, but it is a novel idea. Let's not confuse tuma and avodah zarah. Avodah Zarah is an iser, it's a chefsa shel iser. It's also about now, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. But not because it's tamei. The issue over here is not an issue of tuma. It's an issue of, the Torah says, lo yidbak biyadcha me'umah menacherim. That when you have an Avodah Zarah, we're not allowed to get any kind of benefit from it. It's just a simple iser hana. Meaning, if we put it under any category, you put it under the category of iser. It's iser ve'eter. In other words, but the idea that the Chachamim wanted to make sure that you and I have nothing to do with it. So what the Chachamim did is they slapped a Tuma Darabanan on the Avodah Zarah. And back in the day, people were really careful about Tuma Tahara, meaning it meant something to people. Nowadays it means less, because A, we're all Tamei nowadays, and B, what is the ramifications of being Tamei? Meaning it doesn't preclude us from any kind of activity. Unfortunately, we don't have a base of Mikdash. There's nothing that we are prevented from doing because we're in a state of Tuma. So to us, it doesn't mean anything. But back in the day, when people were careful about not becoming Tamei, so the Chachamim slapped Tumah on the Avodah Zarah, so now people would really stay away from it. So when you have a Chefzo Shel Avodah Zarah, coupled along with that is a Tumah Derabanan on the actual Avodah Zarah itself, and the Mishnah's Chiddush over here is that not only is it on the Avodah Zarah Gufa, but even if you have pieces of the Avodah Zarah, it's still going to remain.
Isn't the wall made out of earth?
It's made out of material, meaning rocks.
Part of the earth, but the earth, it doesn't recover tumah.
Okay, fine. But in other words, okay, now, what happens when the earth gets, what happens when you quarry the stone? It's no longer part and parcel of the earth. Meaning, when we say that ground is not mekabel tumah, what we mean is ground in its natural state. But once you quarry it, once you take it out, so it's not mechubel lekark anymore. Now, it is true, by the way, I'll help you along, because I know where the Gemara is going. What if you now quarry it and put it back into the ground, meaning you solidify it back into the earth? Isn't it mechubla karka? Okay, so...
And the other distinction is if it's done by the force of nature, the separation is done. Also,
well, that was a discussion in the Gemara. Right, that was...
What was the position of that then?
The Gemara left that question unresolved. But over here, when you're the one who takes it out of the ground, for sure it's no longer mechubla karka. Okay. So it has a Tumah Derabanan.
It's built by you, right? It's built by you. We never discussed in the Gemara. If you build the house...
Well, the Gemara is going to discuss it. It's coming up. So the Matamim B'Sher Shenem Shakitza Shakitzenu. So it's Tumah, and what level of Tumah? So really, when we're talking about level of Tumah, we really have three options. Meaning, Tumah can transmit, can communicate in one of three ways. Maga, Masa, and Ohel. Maga is just simple contact. That is a Sheretz. There's one good example. Usually the Gemara's prime example of it only transmits Tumah through contact. Masa, that's carrying. Nevela is usually the prime example of the Gemara when describing Masa, meaning not only does it transmit Tumah through contact, but even if you carry the Tumah without touching it, it transmits the Tumah. And of course, last, and not only not least, but last and worst, and the most severe way of transmission of Tumah, is Oel, just simply sharing the same roof. Which, of course, we know that applies to a mace. To a And there is other examples, but Mace is obviously the prime example. So when the Chachamim slapped a Tuma on the Avodah Zarah, so what level of Tuma are we talking about? Maga, Magar Masa, or all the way to Magar Masa and Ohal? So we're going to see in our Mishnah today, we're going to be seeing that there are one of two possibilities. So, so according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, Tuma Sheretz, which means it's only Mitame Be Maga. Rabbi Kiva Omer Kenida. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's going to be Mitame like a Nida. A woman who's a Nida is not only Tame through Maga, through contact, anything she physically touches is going to become Tame, but also Masa. You carry the Nida even without touching her, so you're going to become Tame. Shenemar Tezarin Kamodavat Stay Tomar Lo. But the Pasuk describes how that we're going to disavow ourselves of Avodah Zarah. Tizareim kimodava, like a woman who's a nida. So just like there is distance and separation between a man and woman when she's a nida, so too we're going to be demanding that kind of separation from the Avodah Zarah. So says the Navi, what do you see that the Avodah Zarah is compared to a nida? Now again, it's a Pasuk in a Navi, so it's not telling us that this is not the Ikar Halach according to the Torah, but this at least gives us the idea that the Chachamim, when they placed a tumah on the Avodah Zarah, they did so like a nida. So ma nida metame b'masa, avodas kochavim metame b'masa. Okay, so machlokas in the Mishnah, what level tumah de rabbanan is now on the Avodah Zarah? Is it mag or is it maga masa? Now, v'hakam irvach l'avodas kochavim. So Ben asked this question, the Gemara now is asking the question, so you are seceding. You're withdrawing. And so that means basically that now you're giving up property for the Avodah Zarah and for the house of the Avodah Zarah. And that's Revach. And you're generating now a gain for the Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, that empty space over there, what you're going to do is you're going to make it into a bathroom. Now, v'habayitz niyusa. Now the Gemara over here, so funny. I have a lot of follow-up questions. The Gemara over here is only focused on one follow-up question. I'm just curious to know, like, what's the access point? Meaning, if you're building a wall, so how are you getting to that bathroom? And you have to go through his property, and he's going to say, "Oh, sure, come in." I don't have a good picture in my head right now of like exactly how this area is now going to be just allowed to be used for a bathroom. But right now, I'll just follow. I know what the Gemara is interested in sharing with us. So I'll just follow along with the Gemara in terms of what the Gemara is bothered by, and that of course is modesty. Meaning, not only do we have to be modest in places where where modesty is expected, but you have to be modest in places where modesty may not be so expected. So for example, the bathroom. There's a need, there's a demand to be modest, meaning even when you're going to the bathroom, we have indoor plumbing nowadays, so for us it's a lot easier, but back in the day when going to the bathroom meant you went to a more exposed area, so you have to make sure that you don't expose yourself even in the exposed area. So the Gemara says, so what are you doing now? You're basically using an area for a bathroom that doesn't have walls around it, or at least, it's open to his side. So the Gemara says, the Avalei Besakisa Delilah. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you use it at night where there's no light, no one can see you. Gemara says, okay, so that's news. So the Gemara says, V'amar mar yizur tzanu anifna b'layla b'makom shenifna b'yom. Now the Gemara here quotes, we saw this back in Brachos, and the Gemara over here quotes that when you go at night, you have to be just as tzanu as you are during the day. Now v'afak abdu kimna b'kaderach. Now the Gemara says, now yes, Gemara is kind of like reminding itself. I know the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara in Brachos says, that's not so much talking about location, that's more talking about how you should position yourself. The Gemara over there describes in detail that when you go to the bathroom, you should keep your body covered. Obviously, you have to expose some parts of your body so that you can go. So the Gemara says the basic minimum, meaning the basic minimum in the back, the basic minimum in the front, needs to be exposed, so you go. But in other words, but the rest of your body should be covered. So the Gemara here describes, that's the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know it's not talking about location, it's talking about the mannerisms in which you go to the bathroom, but miyutz niyusa by lamavid. But the Gemara says, but still, when all said and done, you can't ignore the fact that there needs to be basic modesty when going to the bathroom. And if we're talking about now, just simply using the open area for the bathroom, the part that you're seceding, you're not seceding it. You're using it for the bathroom, but when all said and done, it's totally open to his property, and you don't have the requisite sneeze. So the Gemara says, "Avle l'tinokes." The Gemara says, "Okay, well, it's a bathroom for children. You know, it's my young children who don't have this, who don't have this this high need of tznius." Inami digarid le. Digadir le behizmi behigni. Or the Gemara says, basically, you'll put some sort of mats or reeds over there, meaning not a wall, but just simply some sort of partition for modesty. Okay, so basically the Gemara says, you'll work out the modesty issue, but you're not going to be ceding property.
So you're actually on the edges, you're closing it off?
So you're going to be, again, closing it off, but not with a wall, because you can't build a wall.
That's what I meant.
Right. You'll use some sort of makeshift partition. No, one of these movable mechizas. Okay. Okay, so now there are three houses. When three houses, obviously, the Mishnah doesn't mean three houses. The Mishnah means there are three categories of houses. Let's go. Number one, so the house itself was an Avodah Zarah. And Rashi, true to form, so in describing the first house, so we're describing a house that it itself was being worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. Second Rashi in a row, where we're talking about where the house itself is actually being worshipped. So it is not a house of worship, it's a house that's worshipped. But again, is Rashi over here mean that we're precluding even if it's a house of worship? I'm not sure. But anyway, but let's keep everything nice and simple over here. You're worshiping the house. That's the way Rashi describes the Mishnah. So, category number one, Bai Shabbat HaMetchil HaVodas Kochav Ma'ariz HaAsar. So the house is going to be prohibited. The house itself is an Avodah Zarah. Now, the question which already has been asked here in this room is, isn't it Mechub L'Karka? Isn't it connected to the ground? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. The Gemara is going to answer. Saido V'Kaido LaAvodas Kochav. The Mishnah over here describes now where the house itself was not built as in a house of an Avodah Zarah, but in other words, the house itself was neutral, no intent in the house, but then after the house was constructed, so some idolaters came along and said, you know what? We want to worship the house. So they decorated the house L'Shem Avodah Zarah. Now when I say decorated, Saido V'Kaido. Saido, they put some sort of plaster on the house, and Kaido is that they put some sort of decorations on the plaster. So, V'Chidesh. So here the Mishnah says, okay. So in other words, the house itself wasn't constructed for Avodah Zarah. Post-construction, just a new layer of plaster was put on. Take the new layer of plaster off, and you're good to go, says the Mishnah. And finally, now let's say the house just housed Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah says that's easy. If it just housed Avodah Zarah, so you take the Avodah Zarah out of the house, and the house now is good to go. The house no longer has any status of Avodah Zarah. It was just simply serving as a house for Avodah Zarah. It's a house of worship or for worship. Take the worship out and the house is ready. Now, Amar Rav, Meshachev L'Bayis Asra. So Rav starts off with the halach in the Gemara, which is that if you bow down to a house, the house becomes prohibited. Now, Amakas Avatel Shavasov Chibur Katal Shami. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're basically treated to a concept. And the concept is as follows. How did you make the house? So you took building materials. Let's assume, like Alex did just a moment earlier, that the building materials all came from the ground. Right? Wood, stone, it all came from the ground. So now, I took items which were connected to the ground, I disconnected from them at ground, I detached into the from the ground, and by building the house, I reattached it to the ground. And so the question over here is, what we're asking is something which is really simple. This process of detachment and reattachment, is it now make it like it's grounded? Or do we view it as, no, it's not grounded, but rather it's something which is now, since once detached, we always view it halachically as detached. So the Gemara starts with the halacha of Rav, that if you bow down to a house, it now becomes a chetzer shel avodah zarah. So clearly we're operating with what seemingly is a principle, which is that if you bow down to that a house is considered detached. Now, in so many other areas of halacha, by the way, this is not the case. Meaning, generally speaking, when we look at a house, we say that a house is, in other areas of halacha, grounded. Like, I'll give you simple examples, like kinyanim, like in terms of buying, right? When you're buying and selling houses. So do we say the house is detached? If we did, how do you, what mechanism of kinyan are we talking about? We're talking about mashicha, which is wow. All right, hagbah, right? In other words, we all know that when talking about buying and selling a house, so the method of kinyan, of course, is kesef, shtar, chazaka, meaning the normal means in which you do transactions when it comes to property. So in other areas of halacha, we certainly don't view a house as a movable item. So even though the Gemara is saying this is a rule, what we'll probably end up saying is that it's a rule for avodah zarah, but it's not a rule in kol haTorah kula. But still, it's a rule in avodah zarah that a house, because it was once all the materials were detached from the ground and reattached to the ground, we view it as detached.
Did he build it with the intention to make it an avodah zarah?
No.
So it should be an avodah zarah.
I'm sorry. No. The hamishtach of elabayis means you built it not as an avodah zarah. And then now, once it's standing as a house, you're bound down to it. And the Gemara's point is, Rav says, it becomes now a chefta of avodah zarah. Now the Gemara says, now I am bothered by the Mishnah, v'anan bano tanan. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah talks about building. It sounds like from the Mishnah that it does not become a chefta shel avodah zarah until it's built l'shem avodah zarah. So the Gemara's answer is very simple: tanan bano afa pishlo ishachav lo, and ishachav afa pishlo bano. So the Gemara says, one is not canceling the other point. It's either or. Look, a house can become a chefta shel avodah zarah in one of two ways. Either it's built as a avodah zarah, or subsequent to it being built as a regular house, it was worshipped. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, the Gemara says, well, if that's true, hani shlosha abav. So the Gemara says, well, now aren't we categorically talking about four different types of houses? Meaning, so, in other words, before we get to 2 and 3 in our Mishnah, there really is a 1A and 1B. 1A, I built the house as an avodah zarah. 1B is that I built the house as a non-avodah zarah house, but I worshipped the house. Not in the house. I worshipped the house. So that really now represents 1A and 1B. Well, that really means then that there aren't three categories in the Mishnah. There are really four. And again, what did you start off with? The Mishnah started off with the three houses. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, you're right, but I'll tell you what. It's 1A and 1B. It's not 1 and 2. Why? It's 1A and 1B because in terms of bittul, it's the same basic point. Meaning, can I be mevatel either one of them? And the answer is no, you can't. Meaning, since it was built as an avodah zarah, or since it was worshipped as an avodah zarah, so now it is a chefta shel avodah zarah. And now you can't just simply scrape it off. In other words, now it's a chefta shel avodah zarah. Again, we go back to the rules that we discussed, some time ago in the Masechta. If it belongs to a goy, so the goy could be mevatel it. If it belongs to a Jew, a Jew cannot be mevatel. But in other words, but the house itself is now chefta shel avodah zarah. Okay. Next, Mishnah on Memzayin Amid Beis. Shel Shavanim Hay. There are three stones. And again, three stones meaning there are three categories of avodah zarah that relates to a stone. And again, the theme alert, you're just going to see this again and again. We started with houses, we go to stones, we're going to go to trees in the upcoming Mishnah. So here we are with stones. Category number one. So let's say the stone is now quarried and cut as a pedestal for an avodah zarah. So now the stone itself is a chefza shel avodah zarah. And so it's usur, meaning the stone now is prohibited. With the status of avodah zarah.
Before you put it in the Venus, you just took it out of the ground.
No, you didn't know. You cut it.
You didn't put it in the Venus yet. It was just.
It meaning you made it as a Venus. Meaning you're cutting it for the purposes of a pedestal. Sorry. Okay. Side of a kaidel shem avodas kochavim. So now to mashat side of a kaidel materis. It's an exact parallel to the previous Mishnah. In other words, if they didn't change the shape of the stone, but in other words, the stone was quarried, and then afterwards, you know what? I like the stone. I like the way it looks. So we'll put a layer of plaster on it. We'll put some decorations on it, and we'll be a little more specific in just a moment about what I mean when I say decorations. So under those circumstances, so you take off. I'm sorry, Hamid Allah Avodas Kochavim. I'm sorry. No tomashisiyad v'kaidu materas. So then all you do is you simply remove the layer of plaster, you remove the decorations that you put on, and then it's going to be fine. And finally, number three, hamid alav v'skocham v'silka reizim materas. Let's say, in its natural state, meaning after the stone was quarried, I put an avodah zarah on top of it. So, very simple. I take the avodah zarah off, and now we're good to go. In other words, it was not cut into the shape of a pedestal. I'm just simply, the stone was, just as it was a wonderful support for the avodah zarah. I put the avodah zarah on, I take it off, we're good. Right. Correct. Okay. The Gemara starts off with the following discussion. Amar Rebbe Ami. Now this is an analysis of category number two. Category number two is where we're talking about making some sort of decoration in the stone. Making some sort of decoration in the stone. So we know plastering, We kind of know plastering. So in other words, there was just basically a layer of plaster that was put onto the stone. That part we get. But we're talking about kaida. Kaida means that we're making some sort of markings on the stone. Are we talking like an engraving where we're cutting into the stone? Or are we talking about like, you know, with a brush and paint and painting on the stone? So right now what the Gemara thinks is that it's begufa shel evan, meaning that what the Mishnah here is describing is where we're actually carving decorations, to carving some symbols into the stone. So the Gemara says, I don't think so. V'adomir damayis tanan u'bayis la begufehu u'mitzar. So the Gemara says, well, look. Look at this Mishnah, look at the previous Mishnah. There's a clear running parallel of these Mishnayos. And in the previous Mishnah, when we're talking about a house, category number two of the previous Mishnah, when we're talking about making some sort of decoration in the house, we're not carving into the house, meaning we're seemingly we're taking some sort of brush and we're making some painting symbols on the house, but we're not actually carving into the house. So assuming that we're running parallel with the previous Mishnah, I'd say the same thing by the stone. We're not talking about carving into the stone. We're talking about making some sort of superficial decoration on the stone. So the Gemara says, "Baisnami ika beni urve." So the Gemara says, well, with the house, maybe you're carving in between the bricks? So the Gemara says, I don't think so. Meaning in the previous Mishnah, what we're describing was where the house was already plastered. And again, the idolaters thought to themselves, you know what? Even though the house is not an avodah zarah, let's make an avodah zarah. And so what they do is they put another layer of plaster on top of it for the avodah zarah. And what the Mishnah over there is telling us is, okay, and how do I remove the status? Just by simply removing the new layer of plaster. So the Gemara finally concedes the point. The Gemara says, you know what, you're right. You're right. In other words, in order for to get to category number two, both by the house and by the stone, we're not talking about engraving. We're really talking about creating even just superficial markings. That's enough to give the stone at least currently status. Now, the Gemara says, and as far as the statement of Rebbe Ami, so the Gemara says Rebbe Ami was not talking about how to make it an Avodah Zarah, but how to remove the Avodah Zarah. Ela linya bitul itmar, ve'afagav desai v'kai begufa shel evan, kinato ma'ashechid shapir dami. So the Gemara says like this. Here's what Rabbi Ami really means. When we have a stone and we're category number two. Category number two is where stone was not quarried and cut as a pedestal. Stone still is basically in its original shape. I just layered a plaster on it and I either drew on it or I even carved into it. Either way. The stone right now currently is an Avodah Zarah. And you can't use it. How do I remove the status? By removing the layer of plaster that I put on, and by obviously erasing whatever markings I put on. And even if I engrave, this is Gemara's Chiddush, and even if I engraved into the stone, I just simply take that off, and we're fine. Now, taking off engraving, I know, is a little tricky. Meaning, but yes, you're right, exactly. You're scraping it off. And the Gemara says, and here's what I might have thought. That look, if I put some sort of superficial markings on the stone, so yeah, so you just simply, you wipe it off, you know, you scrub it off and you're fine. But if we're talking about making actual engravings in the stone itself, so the Havamina would have been, this should really now go back to category number one. meaning it's like cutting a stone as a pedestal for an avodah zarah, where once I am now making physical changes in the stone itself, so at that point in time, it should really be category number one, which means it's asur la'olam, it's forever asur. And now the chiddush is, according to Rabbi Ami, is that no, that even with just simple engravings on the stone, if you rub it out, you scrape it out, it is, the stone is going to be mutter as it was originally. We're in Mem Chesam and Aleph now, so we talked houses, we talked stones, and now we're up to trees. Shalosh Asheres are, there are three types of Asheres. Now I know this is going to be a little bit confusing because earlier I talked about two different types of Asheres, and now we're introduced to a third type of Asherah. So we're not really rejecting what we learned previously. There really are fundamentally two different types of Asherah. We will we'll introduce ourselves to the third category in this Mishnah in just a moment. Shalosh Asheres saying, Ilan Shenato Mitzchila L'Shem Avazko Chav Harizah Asura. Category number one, I take a seed, plant it as an avodah zarah. So now, what grows is an asherah, and it is an asherah, bekula. And that, of course, means that it's prohibited, and nothing I can do can change that. When I say nothing I can do, nothing as a Jew can do. Right? A goy maybe can be mevato the asherah. Maybe. But a Jew for sure cannot. Gido upasol shame avodah kochav nehechlif, notal mashi hechlif. What if I just trim the tree of avodah zarah? So in other words, so the tree is not planted l'shem avodah zarah. Subsequently now, you go and you prune, and now new growth occurs where you pruned, and now that new growth, says the Mishnah, is going to be a chefzer shel avodah zarah. But over here, it's really simple. Meaning, what do I do now with the tree if I want the tree to become a non-avodah zarah entity? I just simply clip off the new growth. Because the only portion of the tree that becomes a chefzer shel avodah zarah is only the new growth. The original tree itself remains unchanged in terms of status, and so therefore just trim the tree once again, and it resumes its status of being a regular tree. And finally, the third category, and again, just like a running parallel of what we described by the house and by the stone, let's say I put an avodah zarah under the tree, so that the tree provides, let's say, even protection for the avodah zarah. So the tree now is serving the avodah zarah. But I just simply remove the avodah zarah, and the tree is good for use. It's interesting that the Mishnah here describes it as a category of asherah. A category of asherah, meaning all the tree did was just simply shelter an avodah zarah.
But when you say that the tree is actually attached to the ground, and it really just shouldn't be affected by it?
Right. In other words, right, what is a tree when the avodah zarah is being put underneath that? Okay.
Right, but the thing is, it's attached to the ground, so you can't really change it.
Right, but it's serving the avodah zarah. And halacha, what we call tashmishi avodah zarah. Okay. Now,
I... At least where you worship the entire tree, you just want to worship the growth. Yeah. But if I don't worship the...
Where are you, category two or category three? Category two, yeah, you're right. You want the new growth to be...
You want the entire tree to be your avodah zarah.
You can't, in other words, the tree is mechubal karka. You can't change the tree. Or at least that's what we're saying right now. Right, I'm not going to stick to it. Right.
That's what everyone said before. I agree.
Well, I'm not going to. Even though I'm saying it now with confidence, I'm not sticking with it because I know what's coming up in the Gemara.
Condition.
Right. In other words, right. Condition to change, but subject to change. But right now, what I'm saying is that the tree can't be affected because the tree was mechubal karka. Okay. All right. Amr debe Rabbi Yonai. V'hu shivik v'hirke beguf shel ilan. So the Gemara now is talking here in category number two. Category number two is where I'm making some significant changes in the tree. Now, the Mishnah over here is not... Let's start with Rabbi Yonai. Rabbi Yonai says that in order to go category number two, you have to do some, like, make some real, real changes in the tree, notably either Havracha or Harkava. What are both of those? So, Havracha is the following. You take a vine of the tree, take a branch of the tree, obviously it's got to be long enough, or low to the ground enough, and you basically put it back into the ground, and water it, and it grows into now a new growth. So that is what's called to be mavrich. Or harkava. Harkava is grafting. Split the tree, put a new branch into that tree from another tree, and so you're grafting. So according to Rabbi Yonai, if you wanted to now talk about category number two, you can only really create a avodah zarah within a tree if you're doing either one of those changes. Now the obvious problem with that is the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah over here, our Mishnah talks about, to get to category number two, something as simple as pruning the branches. Not talking about creating new growth by either putting it back into the ground or splitting the tree and putting it in. So, obviously, our Mishnah does not demand this kind of real changes. And the Gemara asks exactly this question. V'hanan gida opislo tanan. Our Mishnah only requires you to prune the tree in order for the new growth to be avodah zarah. So again, so the Gemara says, you're right. What Rabbi Yana was talking about bittul. Now, let's just to be clear. The word bittul over here in our Gemara in this discussion is not like what we described previously. Previously, we described a repudiation of the Avodah Zarah, right? A rejection of the Avodah Zarah. Here, bittul in this context just simply means to undo what I did, meaning, the Gemara says over here, if I want to undo what I did, look, in the case of the house, I put plaster on, I take plaster off. In the case of the stone, I put plaster on with some decoration, I take it off. In the case now of the tree, I create new growth, I remove the new growth. Now the Gemara says the same thing is true if I did either forms of grafting, either by putting the vine, reinserting the vine into the ground, or by physically grafting the tree. If that creates new growth, I just simply take out that new growth, and we're back to having a non-Avodah Zarah tree. Gemara says, that's what Rabbi Yana was saying. Now, and the Gemara explains, look, because here's what I would have thought. I would have thought that if I'm just pruning the tree and there's new growth, okay, so I just take that new growth and I remove it, and we're back to neutral. But over here, if I'm doing these activities, which are really, it's almost as if I'm creating a new entity, a new tree, taking the vine, putting reinserting into the ground, having that sprout out as a new growth, or opening up the tree and putting a new branch into the tree and grafting a new branch into the tree. So I might have thought now that what I'm really doing is I'm really reinventing the tree. And maybe, as a Havamina, I might have thought that now the tree should be viewed as a entire entity of an Asherah. So that's a Havamina, and the Chiddush is no. That even if I do these kinds of activities, all I got to do is just simply prune the new growth, and I'm back to neutral. Okay, Amar Shmuel. Hamashachavah le'ilan tosfasei asura. Shmuel makes a statement very similar to Rav's statement regarding the house, with obvious differences. Rav talked about if you bow down to a house as an Avodah Zarah, the house becomes an Avodah Zarah. Okay. That was what we learned earlier this morning. Shmuel makes a statement regarding a tree. If a person were to bow down to a tree, worship the tree, so what becomes prohibited? The new growth of that tree. The original portion of that tree, which was not Avodah Zarah and connected to the ground, remains not Avodah Zarah. But any of the new growth now becomes Avodah Zarah. So this is a statement made by Shmuel, and the Gemara says, how is that working?
So you're bowing down to something that hasn't...
Right, it's very good, very good. Right? It's a davar shelo ba'olam.
Right. So what's...
That's right. Now, here we're not talking about kinyanim. Your question's excellent. I'm thinking out loud right now, maybe even offering a suggestion. We're not talking about kinyanim. By kinyanim, we say davar shelo ba'olam doesn't work. We're talking about giving something a status of avodah zarah. So maybe now, because you are bowing down to new growth, so maybe now it gives it a chalosh shame. Okay, but still, I really appreciate the question.
Maybe there wasn't growth. I don't know.
Okay. All right. And if it's new growth, so then it's part whatever. Okay. Meisiv Rabbi Elazar Gido Apostle Lav Vos Kochav Vehechlif Nota Mashiachlif Gido Apostle In Lo Gido Apostle Lo. And the Gemara's first challenge against Shmuel, which is really a simple challenge, is, hey, did you read our Mishnah? Look, our Mishnah says, how is new growth going to become Avodah Zarah? You need to do a physical action. You need to prune a branch of the tree, thereby creating now new growth in the area in which you pruned, and then and only then is that new growth going to be a Chefzer Shel Avodah Zarah. But just because you are now bowing down to it, that shouldn't be enough to give it status of Avodah Zarah. Wait, just one second. Let's first finish the Q&A of the Gemara. Am l'chashmol hamani rabbanan. Ushmul da amakar Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, we have to go back to what we learned back on Memhe. Remember. Back on Daf Memhe, we had a machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, pretty much on this topic of new growth. Can it be that new growth of a tree can become a chefzer shel avodah zarah? Now you remember, it seemingly was a machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, right, on Memhe Amud Beis, where the Chachamim say that there's no such thing as new growth becoming chefzer shel avodah zarah. And Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda said, no, if you worship a new growth of a tree, that new growth can become avodah zarah. So what the Gemara now is going to suggest is that the statement of Shmuel is operating within the sheet of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah is operating within the sheet of the Chachamim. And the Gemara is going to spell it out. The Gemara says, Amalecha Shmuel, Hamani Rabbanani, Ushmuel Damak Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Look, we'll just simply say that our Mishnah is following the sheet of the Chachamim, and Shmuel is following the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. The Amar Ilan Shenatul Vesov Avdel Asur, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that if you have a tree that was not planted as an Asherah, and subsequently worshipped, any of the post-worship new growth, according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, is going to be a Chesed Shel Avodah Zarah, and it's going to be Asur. And Shmuel is just simply echoing his position. Whereas our Mishnah, which demands actual physical pruning, so that's going like the sheet of the Chacham. Okay, that's where the Gemara stands right now. Maska v'Ravashi mimai, the Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, v'Rabbanan b'Tosefes Pligi. So the Gemara says basically, here's now what we're going to entertain. Okay. Really, the truth of the matter is it would have been so much easier, quite frankly, if this sugya over here was placed right after the sugya on Memhe. Meaning we've had now like 3 days of separation between these two Gemaras. But here now is what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to revisit the machlokas between Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim. And what the Gemara is going to do now is give us an entirely new way to look at it. Meaning, in fact, now when I say a new way, it's going to be lehefech. It'll be the exact opposite of the way it was presented back on Memhe. So if you remember the Gemara Memhe, so basically what you're going to have to do now in your mind is basically take what was on the Memhe and just like turn it right over. If you don't remember the Gemara Memhe, well, that's not good, but at least now you'll have no confounding information to to upset what we're about to see. But in other words, with the Gemara now is going to give an entirely new approach to the Machlokas, and in doing so, it'll work out a lot better for Shmuel. Because right now, as it stands, what we're saying is that, you know how Shmuel's halacha is going to work? Where if I bow down to new growth, the new growth is going to be Aser, and the Mishnah doesn't seem to be going with the Mishnah. So right now we have it, well, Shmuel's going like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. That's not the best. Meaning, because now, in order for Shmuel to work as a Shita, it only works within the opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. And the Chachamim, which is the Das Rabim, is arguing on Shmuel. That's not so good. So here now, as we're about to give a totally new approach to the Machlokas, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim, so now it's going to work out a lot better for Shmuel. So let's see all this inside. Dilma, Tosefus of Divrei HaKol Aser. Maybe, we'll say like this. When you bow down to a tree that was not planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah, that's not Nesherah, maybe everyone is in agreement that the new growth is going to be Aser, just for bowing, just for the simple act of bowing. In other words, because the new growth is new. And Uvi Ikaro Pligi. And maybe the entire debate between Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is the original. Now again, what I'm about to say, put in parentheses. If you go back to Daf Memhe, you will remember that this was a non-negotiable point. Meaning back on Memhe, everyone was in agreement that the original tree cannot be changed. In other words, and the status of it remains non-avodah zarah. The only thing that was up for discussion was the new growth. Okay, that was Memhe. But now we're on Memches. And now where the Gemara is advancing is that no. Regarding the new growth, everyone says that that's going to have the status of avodah zarah. And the original tree, will that now also come along for the ride as being now a chefzer shel avodah zarah? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, that's the machlokas. The Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Savri Karanami Aser. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that the ikar is going to be aser as well. Dichsiv ashrehem tisrafun be'esh. Because Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, look at the pasuk. Pasuk says, what do you do with the asherah? You burn the asherah. Meaning, once a tree gets asherah status, the entire tree gets a share of status, and that could be one of two ways. Either it was planted l'shem Asherah, or even if subsequently worshipped, where now there's new Tosefis becoming a Sheira, and not only does the new Tosefis become a Sheira, but the status of it, right, spreads. And takes control of the entire tree, where the entire tree becomes nasher as well. And the chachamim say no. Only the Tosefis becomes usher, but not the original tree. And according to the chachamim, no. Because remember, according to the chachamim, there are two psukim. One pasuk talks about the Asherah plant as an Asherah, that's Asherim Tisrufum Ba'ish. Another pasuk talks about Asherim Tigadeyun. You just simply trim. When do I have to trim? When the tree was not planted as an Asherah, subsequently worshipped, the new growth is going to be Aser. Now the Gemara over here acknowledges, hey, do you remember the Gemara on Memhei? We didn't say this back on Memhei. So the Gemara says, you're right, we didn't say this on Memhei. So the Gemara says, Epoch, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Ud Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, so what we're basically doing is we're flipping. You're right. The Gemara acknowledges. We didn't present this back on Daf Memhei when originally presenting the Machlokas, but now we are. So, Im Kein Gido Pesla Man Ketanila, La Rabbanan, La Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay. So now that we have a totally new way of looking at Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, so here's effectively what we're saying. Let me just review what our new understanding of the Shitas are, and then the question the Gemara now is going to be asking is kind of obvious. But let's review. Now what we're saying is as follows. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you have an Asherah tree. Period. And when we say it's an Asherah tree, it means the entire tree becomes an Asherah. How can I arrive at an Asherah tree according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda? In one of two ways. I either plant it as an Asherah tree, or I worship it as an Asherah tree, where there's new growth after I'm worshiping it, and that new growth now becomes an Asherah, as does the original tree itself. Meaning, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, it's all or nothing. And it's all.
Is the new growth required, or just the fact that you're...
I'm so happy you asked that question. I think that from the way the Gemara is presenting it, it sounds like there's new growth required. It sounds funny, though. In other words...
What if the
yeah, I hear the question. It sounds like there's new growth required. So that's according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And according to the Chachamim, no. According to the Chachamim, there really are two categories of Asherah, and they're separate. One category of an Asherah was when it's planted as an Asherah. It plants as an Asherah, the entire tree now is an Asherah, needs to be burned. That's Asherah Emtis Rifun Beish. There's a second Asherah where it was not planted L'Shem Asherah. You worship it, you bow down to it. After it's now developing as a tree, the new growth, and only the new growth, becomes Aser, and that's the pasuk of Vashrayim Tigadeyun. You cut the Asherah. Okay. If all this is true, meaning if this is now the correct way to understand it, so first of all, now for Shmuel, it works out great. Because Shmuel says that when you bow down to the tree, so the new growth becomes prohibited. So it can work now according to the Chachamim. It can maybe even work according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. We'll explore that in just a moment. But now it works out a lot better. Of course, the obvious problem is, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, remember, category number two of our Mishnah. How does a tree now as new growth become usher? Through trimming. Through the physical act of trimming. Well, wait 1 second. In our new understanding of the Chacham and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, you don't need a physical act of trimming. All you just need to do is bow down to it, allow new growth to result, and that's going to become usher de facto. And so the Gemara asks now exactly this question. The Gemara says, Im Kain, we are on the first wide line. Gido upislo man ketanila. Lo rabbanan v'lo Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. I rabbanan v'lo gido upislo nami tosefes asura. According to the Chachamim, you don't need trimming. All you just need is avoda. And I Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, ikar ilan nami asar. And if you're holding like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, the whole tree becomes asar, not just the new growth.
But even without gido upislo.
Correct. Ibai Zim Rabbanan, Ibai Zim Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, look, we're gonna do it. We're gonna be able to fit in either Shita into the Mishnah. How are we gonna do that? Ibai Zim Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Kikam Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Belo Gido Pislo, Iker Ilan Aser Bistama. So when Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says that even without trimming, so the the whole tree becomes usher. That's stam. Avagiro pislo gali adaite dipetosefes nichale beikar ilan lo nichale. Really, a fascinating way to learn Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. If I just bow down to the new growth, so the entire tree becomes now a chefsa shalon asherah. But according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, if I do even a greater activity, i.e., I trim it in order to produce new growth, that is a clear revelation on my part that I only want the new growth to become usur and not the original tree. Really fascinating. Well, in other words, without an action, the new growth and the entire tree becomes usur. With an action, only the new growth comes about, because it's basically as if I'm stating and articulating, I only want the new growth, not the original tree.
The purpose of pruning is to right.
It expedites the growth. That's the whole point.
Right.
The trimming actually expedites
the right. growth. So that's the lo nichalei. So ibais em nichalei biikri lan lo nichalei. Ibais em rabbanan. Or the Gemara says, or maybe we can have the Mishnah going like the Chachamim. And that would be gidol paslo itzrichlei. Maybe, in other words, according to the Chachamim, what the Mishnah represents is a bit of a chiddush within the sheet of the Chachamim. Because here's a Havamina. Havamina would be that, look, according to the Chachamim, if I bow down, the new growth is going to become Aser, again, in our new way of learning the Chachamim. But if I'm doing an act of trimming, so the Havamina would be that maybe even the Chachamim now would concede and yield to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. The whole tree should be Aser. And the Chiddush is, Kamash Malan, that no, the whole tree does not become Aser, meaning according to the Chachamim, even with an action, it's only the new growth that becomes us and not the original tree. So the Gemara says, so that could be our Mishnah just injecting a Chiddush within the Shita of the Chacham. So where do we stand right now? Admittedly a complicated sugya, but basically now what we have is a totally new and fresh way to look at the machlokas of the Chacham and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, where everyone agrees that the Tosefet is going to be Aser. A question now of whether the Iker tree is going to be Aser as well. According to our new approach of today's daf, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that the Iker tree is going to be Aser as well. According to the Chacham, the Iker tree is not going to be Aser. Shmuel's statement now could be working very easily within the Shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, but that's great. Meaning now he's following a das Rabim, not just a Das Yachid. And as far as understanding our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says pruning, you don't need pruning, in our new way of understanding the Machlokas, so the Gemara said in one of two ways. Either our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, and the act of pruning is a clear demonstration that I only want the Tosefet, not the Iker, or the Mishnah could be saying like the Chachamim, that pruning and the new growth is going to be Aser, you don't need to prune, even just Yishtach Havayu would be enough to create Iser and the new growth. The Havamina would have been that with pruning, the whole tree should be Aser. And the maskana is that no, even with pruning, the whole tree, the only the new growth is going to be awesome. Okay, Ad Kam, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.